Hi, this is Rachel McElroy.
Hello, this is Griffin McElroy.
And this is Wonderful.
It's a show where we talk about the things we like that are good, that we're into. Tastemakers, very educated.
Rump shakers,
shaking our rumps.
Can I ask you a question
please.
That just occurred to me?
Yes.
So all of your podcasts that you make, well, maybe not Besties, but you're like on camera for most of them, right? Or just Mabim
just
Bam?
Just Mabim Bam.
Okay. When you record your other podcasts, you do this cash feet up on the desk thing?
No, you just make me feel so comfortable. Sorry, ma'am.
No, I just realized, like, I would never do that. Like, I'm far too uptight.
It's not a...
I'm kind of the Greg. But right. I was wondering if this is just an energy you bring to our podcast and not your other ones.
I'll be honest with you. The feet up on the table, chill, relaxed thing, it's not a power play. And I hope you don't...
No, I don't think it is.
If it seems to you... If I'm giving off an energy that seems to be saying, I need pictures of Spider-Man on this desk by end of day, just chomping on a cigar, I will change my posture.
No.
It's really just... I don't know why. It's just comfy.
Yeah.
Just, I'm always at my, you know what it is? It's the opportunity to not be hunched over my keyboard for a little bit.
Yeah, and we're in the studio together. You're not like virtual with other people. No. So you want to get in a chit chat.
Plus, I know you love feet stuff.
Wow. Please don't.
What's wrong, Rachel?
Please don't put that in the world.
It's not a fun energy to put on.
And it's not a thing at all.
I mean, it is a thing for a lot of people.
I don't even like my feet touched. I will just say.
Yeah.
I'm not a foot fan.
No. It's for you, it's other people's feet.
No. Why are you doing this to me?
Do you have any small wonders? There's nothing. Listen, I don't want to yuck anybody's yums. It's just not Rachel's yum.
It's not my thing. I am concerned now that people will send me
hey,
things.
Listen, no. No. Come
okay.
on.
I was thinking about this on the way upstairs.
Okay.
And I'm going to say, and this is not something that I think a lot of people understand right away, but I'll explain it, a busy weekend.
Mm.
This is important for us now.
Absolutely, this is important for us.
So our oldest son, big son, doesn't play a sport.
No.
Isn't really in an activity. His weekends are relatively unscheduled now.
Right.
Little son has a tremendous amount of energy.
Yes.
So the two of them, they need activities.
Yes.
And there's nothing better than a weekend in which we have a morning activity and an afternoon activity.
So huge.
Each day, if we do that, like we both leave the weekend like, that was a good weekend.
Not a joke. Probably the number one reason why we moved to DC.
I know.
It's just the number of child appropriate activities here is absolutely outrageous.
And plus we're able to easily get to Maryland and Virginia,
yeah.
Which, you know, so like if DC lets us down for whatever reason, which it rarely does,
no.
We just hop over the state line.
Yeah. Yeah, that's great. I'm jealous. I was out of town this weekend.
I know. I had a really busy one.
You had a really busy one.
Mostly Saturday, but still it was very satisfying.
Yeah. I'm going to say it is a rival podcast, and
whoa.
So I'm crossing enemy lines.
I thought you didn't listen to podcasts anymore.
I don't, but I do listen to Worlds Beyond Number, the new actual play podcast from Brennan Lee Mulligan and Abria Iyengar and Lou Wilson and Erica Ishii. It is phenomenal. It's so good.
Do you think I would like it, even though I'm not?
I think
like
you
a,
would. Yeah,
a
honestly,
fantasy person?
I would recommend it to anyone. It's very clever what they did. They're on their first sort of season now, and they had for I think just their Patreon subscribers. They did like a mini season where all their characters were children and met, and
oh
then
my
the
God,
season
I bet
that is
great.
Out now is like they meet back up as adults.
Wow.
And it's so the production work on it is outrageous. Everybody's at the fucking top of their game. If you've watched, you know, any Dimension 20 stuff, like,
is it a video or just audio?
I think just audio. I don't know about that. I've been listening to it audio style. There's like 7 episodes of it now out now, but it's so different from the vibe of any other sort of actual play thing I've ever watched or participated in or listened to. And it's very like, it's very intimate. It feels very, it's also very, very funny. And the world building is out of sight. But it's just got an energy that is unlike anything else that I've ever really listened to. And it is really the only podcast right now that when I get the notification that there's a new episode out, I'm like, okay. Which is great also because I have been traveling a lot more. And so it's given me plenty of podcast time. But yeah, I'm going to say that. I go first this week.
Yes.
Mine is not the beefiest topic.
Mine isn't either. So let's, you know, we'll get in, we'll get out.
We'll get in, we'll get out. I want to talk about robot dance.
Oh.
I want to start this off by saying popping a good robot off is not easy, right?
True.
This is there are master, you know, illusion dance experts out there who have done great research and toil in honing their robot dance craft. And it's obviously on a whole nother level. However, when one is dancing and you realize, like, I've been doing the same move for a while, let me go through my Rolodex of dance moves that I have cataloged in my brain. Robot dance is, at least for me, and I would imagine for a lot of people too, it's always like the first one there. And maybe you flip past it for a different dance that's maybe more suitable for the style of music that you're dancing to. But to have that same card in there in everybody's dance Rolodex is very, very good.
Can I ask you, and this is a, like a question that I honestly wonder about.
Yeah.
If somebody does a robot dance that is not particularly good.
I still applaud that.
It's still enjoyable?
You know what it is? It's like a cannonball. You see somebody cannonball into the swimming pool, even if they don't make a huge splash, it's like, hell yeah, man, you cannonballed.
Okay.
If I see somebody dancing like a robot and they're doing a really bad job, that's great too, because it's like when your friend who's not a very good singer is like, can't wait for karaoke night.
Yeah.
It's like, hell yeah, man, you do you.
Yeah.
That's
reassuring because I've always been a little standoffish with the robot because I feel like I'm not very good at it.
Well, you have to stand in your truth. Because
I feel like I do like the arm chop.
Yeah, and the torso twist.
Yeah, and the torso twist.
Yeah, the entry level sort of robot experience.
Yeah.
It's all you really need, man. I don't think I'm a very good dancer, right?
I disagree with that 100%.
I wasn't good at, okay, I will say like.
You got so much swag, Griffin McElroy.
I can't learn choreography. That's gross. I've never been good at like choreographed.
I don't think that's true either.
I do think it's true.
Well, we used to play the Just Dance or whatever.
Well, Dance Central is a different beast,
you
obviously.
You crush it.
I guess that is true. Anyway, I guess I don't feel confident in my dancing abilities.
Don't have any real fancy moves, I will say.
Right. That's another good way of putting it. But I do love to pretend to be a robot on a rhythmic basis, especially when dancing with our kids. As mentioned earlier, they have these reserves of energy that if we do not deplete throughout the day, they will not sleep in the nighttime. And so sometimes with like it's raining outside or, you know, we're not doing screen time and can't think of something to do, just put on some music, fucking dance. And sometimes they need a prompt. Sometimes they won't dance until you say like, hey, be a robot. And then especially Gus just doing his beep bop, beep bop voices.
You know what? He doesn't even do the beep boop as much as he does the like,
yeah, his is a scary robot. But you know, it gets it started. You know, they can act like robots very good, but it just gets the dance party started right. And
it's true. I'm always
delighted
by it.
Yes,
there are a lot of dances. Like I don't particularly like the sprinkler or the shopping cart. I don't really like the fishing one where you reel somebody in.
See, I do like that. I think that's cute.
I think I always like the robot.
Everybody always likes the robot. So robot, also called mannequin or dancing machine for obvious reasons, is generally speaking a street dance style, and it has been for, you know, 50 years. But its origins, like a lot of sort of illusion dance, go back to mime work. The robot is sort of given the carbon dating of like the 1920s, which is where sort of mimes would move in a way that was inhuman with their many. I learned the term dime stop.
Ooh, I don't know about that.
It's like a dancing and I guess miming maneuver where you just stop your body very quickly.
Oh.
Like stopping on a dime, I guess. I like it. It's a good word, dime stop. It feels
great.
What
else did you learn about mimes?
I learned, I typed in mime dime stop into Google, and it auto-corrected to Miami GameStop.
No, your computer knows you so well.
Yeah, that I'm always in.
He can't be looking for mime information.
No.
He probably meant to type
Miami.
He's
probably hanging out with his good friend Pitbull, and they need a new Xbox One controller. So obviously, when you're doing the robot dance, You're adding some flourishes to the dime stops. You're adding some pops.
I appreciate how much you're demonstrating this for me.
Yeah, this is just for you. The audience cannot see this at all. So it's not exactly... Wikipedia went down a little bit of a rabbit hole of like, here's when it's street dancing, here's when it's mime. When there's no music, if you do the robot, now you're miming. Okay. Which I imagine is probably true of a lot of styles of dance. If you do it to no music, now you... Congratulations, you're a mime now. It also says that even if you add popping to the beat, as long as the illusion of being a robot is maintained, it is considered the robot. I hate all these fucking robot gatekeepers. Yeah,
that's not a robot. Get that out of here.
Obviously, the music also has to be like the right vibe and BP. You can't like robot to I Hope You Dance. although now this is the new TikTok challenge, everybody robot, I Hope You Dance. So it rose to prominence alongside a style of music called electrofunk, which was sort of developed around the like rise of drum machines and drum synthesizers, like the 808 and all those, and vocoder talkbox stuff. Basically, music that kind of sounds like a robot made it. Very naturally and organically came up around the robot. But in 1974, it really made a splash when the Jackson 5 came out with the song Dancing Machine. Do you know that one?
I don't know that I do.
It has that hook in it. It's like... You know that? Nope. Okay.
No, but I mean, I can imagine.
Yeah, clearly. They did this song live on like Carol Burnett and Sonny and Cher and Soul Train. And during that sort of bridge break, Michael would walk out in front and then just do the robot really, really good. And so all of these things happened in sort of the mid to late 70s and made a dance that would become permanently embedded in the minds of basically every human being who saw it. Doors were opened in these moments of like, you mean I can do that and it's dancing? Excellent. What an exciting development.
Right, because like coming out of like the 70s when it was like disco, it was like very choreographed.
Yeah.
You know, and this idea that like you could just do kind of a casual arm movement.
Well, you could also choreograph the hell out of it, but it's a whole new
genre. It's less intimidating,
I
will say, than like doing a Saturday Night Fever kind of routine.
Yeah, although I could bust one of those out too. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's it. Obviously, like you see a lot of sort of popping and locking style dances, which sometimes, I mean, I feel like when YouTube first came out, that's like the only videos that were out were like high school dance tournaments where some nerdy kid would come out there and just fucking tear it down. There is some robot meat in a lot of that style of dance that is well above my pay grade. But just conceptually, I love robot dance. I love doing robot dance with my kids, our kids. And I like robot dance.
Great.
I like robot dance. Can I steal you away?
Yes.
We all got needs. And to satisfy those needs, we subscribe to different services to fulfill those needs. Some of them are pretty dang good at it, if I do say so myself. But then you put away your childish things. You say, I don't have a need for a string cheese subscription service.
I keep receiving this huge box of string cheese every month and immediately throwing it away.
Yeah.
Maybe I should not receive this huge box of string cheese every month.
But you forget, don't you? So easily.
I know.
Your many subscriptions you've scattered, like Johnny Appleseed to his apple seeds. Well, Rocket Money is here to help. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps you lower your bills so that you can grow your savings. I've used Rocket Money before, and it found, not a joke, maybe 6 things that I had completely forgotten about. Like, maybe about $50 a month worth of shit that I just completely did not know, nor did I interface with the things that I was subscribing to.
Yeah, it's like that. We got that one app that promised to show us hockey and then almost entirely stopped showing us hockey.
Yep. And Rocket Money was like, you're not watching the hockey anymore. The Blues lost and not in the playoffs. Anyway. Rocket Money is fantastic, and we recommend using it if you think you might have some of those phantom subs. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/wonderful. That's rocketmoney.com/wonderful. One last time, rocketmoney.com/wonderful. Folks, I'm recording this ad by myself because Rachel, she did something totally wild. She hopped on her electric e-bike and she was like, I am out of here. And then she zoomed off. She hit a ramp and flew up in the sky like an E.T. movie and just went so fast that I was like, dang, where'd my wife even go? And she yelled from over the horizon on a bike adventure. And so I have to celebrate that. I have to cheer for her on that. This bike that Rachel got from Electric E-Bike, it is, one, very sleek and stylish. It looks fast because it is. The battery lasts forever. It shows up at your door, ships for free. It's got a quick toolless assembly, and you can even fold it up for easy travel and storage. It is the perfect time of year to have a sweet little bike for yourself to go on your own bike adventures away from your husband. Anyway, go full throttle into spring with Electric E-Bikes, the number one selling e-bikes in the nation. Get your adventure started at electricebikes.com, and please mention that Wonderful sent you in the post-checkout survey. That's electricebikes.com.
I'm glad you said that, because nobody says that.
Can I just say thank you to you for such a thoughtful interview?
Oh my God, yeah, I think you nailed it.
Bullseye. Interviews with creators you love and creators you need to know. Listen to the Bullseye podcast only from NPR and Maximum Fun.
Hey, I'm Dan McCoy.
I'm Stuart Wellington.
And I'm Elliot Kalin.
Listen, you like podcasts, right? Sure you do. Don't try and lie to me. You're listening to one right now, so why not try a different one called R1, The Flophouse?
Uh-huh, and on The Flophouse, we watch a movie and talk about it. And then sometimes we also do other stuff.
It's all meant to be funny and fun, and we think you'll have a good time. And just to be clear, the name of the podcast is not R1, The Flophouse. It's just called The Flophouse. I do a lot of correcting Dan.
The Flophouse, a lot of correcting Dan.
Okay, so my topic this week was another one of those, surely we've done this before, kind of topics, but I didn't see it anywhere. So if I have, tell me.
Okay.
But then no, I'm probably going to still do it because it's okay. What I'm talking about this week.
Okay.
The birthday party.
Oh, interesting. Did you check wonderful.fyi?
I did. It's not on there.
Well, I guess you're good then.
I don't know. And, you know, this is one of those things that they caution you against as your children get older about like, oh man, your weekends, it's just like a birthday party all the time. And I did at first have this kind of like, oh, I don't know about that. Talking to a bunch of people I don't know real well. I don't know if I like that. But this past weekend, part of my action-packed Saturday was a birthday party. Now, Granted, it was the child of a very close friend of mine.
Right,
so
which helps.
I had that advantage for sure. Right. But it was a really good birthday party, and it really made me appreciate, like, I don't know, just all the, like, little touches,
You know,
that, like, that you think about when planning it, and then if you attend one, you're like, that was good.
That was good. Mm-hmm. This party, from what I understand, again, I wasn't invited because I was on tour, had Sonic the Hedgehog-themed party favors, which is...
Yes. So exactly Henry's wheelhouse.
Wow.
So there was a bounce house.
Yeah.
Which that was the reason that it came up for me. Was the bounce house a birthday party thing when you were a kid?
No.
No. This is
what an outrageous.
I thought, because it happened a lot when we were in Texas, and I thought like, oh, this must be a Texas thing. And then like turns out no, it's like a nationwide thing. Like everybody does the bounce house now. And I didn't, this wasn't possible when we were children. Yeah. Which when I was looking into like the bounce house, it's been around since like the 60s.
Huh, interesting.
I mean, obviously you couldn't like rent it and set it up in your home and during the 60s, but like
right.
It's not like a new invention. It's just really taken off as a birthday party.
Maybe let's just rework this whole bit and just have it be a bounce house.
I thought about that.
Yeah, I bet
that's
you
where
did.
This started.
Yeah, I bet.
And then I was like, I've got almost nothing to say about the bounce house after I say like, here's how it started.
Yeah, sure.
The end.
Yeah.
The birthday party, though, is really interesting. Obviously, there's like extremes, right? Like, what is the fanciest birthday party you think you've ever had? Can you like
that
recall?
I've ever had or been to?
Had. Can you remember like birthday parties? Like, I did one. I think I did one at Burger King.
That was the fanciest birthday party you ever had?
No, I'm just trying to list them off in my head. I mean, a lot of them were at my house. I don't remember a lot of destination birthday parties. But I know that's another thing now of like you rent whatever.
Are we talking specific as a child, like fancy birthday? Okay. Because I was thinking about, you know, there were a couple of years there where we like rented a...
No, like an Airbnb, yeah. No, I'm talking specific... I should clarify, I'm talking specifically about children's...
Childhood birthday parties. That's a horse of a different color.
Like bowling alleys, showbiz pizza.
I feel like I definitely had a showbiz pizza, mm-hmm. Or Billy Bob's, mm-hmm. Is what it was in West Virginia. I definitely had at least one birthday there. I think just the one, though.
We did one of those recently for Henry because everybody sells it. Like if you talk to another parent, they're like, you go, they have the whole room for you, and then you leave and you're done.
Yeah.
Like you don't have to clean anything up. You don't have to set anything up.
Should make it clear, not a Chuck E. Cheese or Billy Bob's. This was like a different birthday
event. No, this is one of those play place kind of situations. Okay, I was just curious because birthday parties now, like there's such a huge range. We have done the bounce house before for Henry as well.
We did. We learned a lot.
Big hit. Now it is something that he has requested again.
It also fucking rained. I don't know if you remember that. They came set it up on Saturday. The birthday party was on Sunday. It rained a lot overnight.
Yeah, you went out there with a towel.
And then I had to go out there with like towels and a shop vac and just sheer force of will.
I think we were nervous with the timing of the party that if we waited till the day of, there was some risk associated.
I had to buy tarps to lay on the ground because our backyard was like a mud pit.
Oh, gosh. I forgot about that.
We bent heaven and earth to make that bounce house work.
So the birthday party, not really a thing until the late 19th century. And it's fascinating when you read about the reasons why, because it just reminds you of like what the olden days were like. So birthday celebrations prior to that time period were typically for really wealthy people and national heroes. So it was like, I am a queen. I am George Washington.
I mean, they still make us celebrate fucking George Washington's birthday. That's wild. Like dude is not even around to enjoy the festivities.
What happened in the mid-19th century was like partially like industrialization. So a lot of things started to change in that like people weren't having children to work in the farm anymore. So they weren't having like 10. Okay. You know, that was like easier to like distinguish the value of your individual children.
If we had 10 kids, our birthday party budget would be, I imagine, larger than our mortgage.
I mean, or nothing at all.
Yeah, we'd start to lump them together. We do, okay, we're doing a first quarter birthday party.
Here's also a funny thing I was reading. So this is an article from The Atlantic called The Strange Origins of American Birthday Celebrations from 2021. They also cited the widespread production of household clocks.
So people just could, what?
With industrialization, people were more aware of like time. They had times they had to be in factories and they had times of day that they were supposed to do things. And so everybody had a clock.
And all of a sudden, just scheduling became a possibility.
You knew like, oh, it's the 13th because I've seen that clock go around a few times now and I know it's not the 12th anymore. Isn't that fascinating?
You wouldn't have calendars?
I mean, I don't know. It, not in a way. I guess time became more important.
Okay,
right?
Yes.
Like people became more aware of it. Schools also started separating by age. So that kind of one room schoolhouse thing where everybody's learning from the same teacher, various ages, that's not happening anymore. And people started selling birthday cards in the late 19th century.
That's fucking
wild.
Isn't
it just crazy to think about like, oh, we should acknowledge the day that you arrived and now you're older and here is a card. Congratulations.
You made it.
And then there's all these kind of ancient things like the cake on the candle was like something that happened in ancient Greece.
Wait.
The candle on the cake.
I mean, I didn't know. Maybe the ancient Greeks did it real silly. Guys, something's got to be, something's wrong. It won't stay up.
There was this whole like moon-shaped cake thing, and then the cakes were decorated with candles in order to make them glow like the moon.
Oh, I like that.
The Romans apparently started the birthday cake. The Germans started the birthday party. But it wasn't until like late 19th, early 20th century that people really started like investing in the party. I tried to find out like how much, what are these things running these days? Like
how much a birthday party costs?
Like what's the average cost? And then so this is difficult to find, obviously. There hasn't really been a nationwide poll. I found one poll from babycenter.com. And the highest response was 26% spent more than $500 on their child's birthday, which is wild to think about.
Yeah, that's a lot of money.
There's also like super extreme. So when I was looking for cost, since we're located in DC now, I got pushed a article from the Washingtonian from 2022. And there was a company, like a event planning company, that said that their productions for birthdays range from $8,000 to $20,000.
Okay.
There was also a like a balloon company that talked about that, you know, just like a balloon sculpture or a balloon archway can run about $1,200.
That's why you don't need that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's, you know, it's up to you, obviously. Like, and I think
I'll make you a balloon. I'll make you a balloon arch for $50.
Well, part of the reason these balloons are so expensive is they're like American made and biodegradable.
Oh, I'm going to use the fucking gnarliest. Don't touch these balloons. It's important. Each balloon.
They smell forever.
They smell so bad. If you touch it, that hand is going to be stinky for a long time.
A lot of the climb to has been like post-pandemic. Like a lot of people feel, well, one, this like urge to just like really go for it. And also this like kind of internal guilt about having maybe several years where their child didn't get to celebrate. So people tend to be going a little bit harder.
I get it.
But I don't know. I kind of love it for a lot of reasons, but I think it's just, it's fun to bring your child to something and like a person has put time into thinking about like what might entertain them.
Yeah.
You know, like there's activities, there's cake, like there's singing, you know, sometimes there's a little goodie bag. It just feels like, oh, this Pinata. Is like a nice, yeah, like a nice little thing you've prepared that my child can enjoy and we get to celebrate your kid. And cool.
You're right. You're correct. This is a good one.
Oh, thank you. We don't usually end the show that way.
We don't usually end that way, do we?
And you're correct.
And you win. thank you so much for listening. Thank you to Bowen and Augustus for the use of our theme song, Money Won't Pay. You can find a link to that in the episode description. Thank you to Maximum Fun for having us on the network. Go to MaximumFun.org. Check out all the great shows that they have on there. I got some shows coming up in Raleigh and Richmond and San Diego for Bim Bam and Taz, and you should come out and see us.
And you're going to be at a con here.
I'm going to be at Awesome Con here in D.C. in the middle of June. I think it's like June 14th or something around there. Me and Trav are going to be here. We're doing signings and photos and panels and stuff, and it's going to be a hoot. It'll be right here in Washington. So if you live in the area, come to that. Awesome Con is what it's called. We have a link on our website. Where you can find tickets and links to all that stuff. That's it, though. Thank you all so much.
Thank you.
Hey, thank you.
Hey.
I gotta use the bathroom.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Audience supported.